minimum guarantees for black people in the process in Louisiana. He thought that the vote, for example, should be given to black soldiers who fought for the Union, and also to some other intelligent black men, as he put it. That, at a minimum, should happen. Give the franchise to black men on a restricted basis. And he asked Banks to work for that. Banks did not achieve that. A convention met in April, ignored Banks, and only gave the new legislature discretionary power to enfranchise blacks at some point in the future. The new constitution, which was ratified in September 1864 by 10% of the white males of the state, did abolish slavery, and it did create a public school system for both races, but that was not enough to appease the radicals. They damned the Louisiana results as the logical outcome of Abraham Lincoln's course on Reconstruction. Congressional Republicans thought 10% of the voters ridiculous, as I said earlier, especially because no radical unionists were part of the new Louisiana government. Congress had some means with which to strike back at Lincoln in this debate, and they proceeded to use them. When the new regime in Louisiana elected members of Congress, Republicans in Congress refused to seat them. So those men were not given seats. And they later refused to seat representatives elected from Arkansas and ignored electoral votes cast by Tennessee, Arkansas, and Louisiana in the presidential elections of 1864. Now, in this process of Lincoln's plan going into effect, 10% of the voters turned out in Louisiana, as I said, 25% turned out in Arkansas, a higher percentage. But Congress said, forget it, this is a sham, and we are not going to treat it seriously. These aren't real governments. These states aren't really being reconstructed. So how does Congress want to go about it? There wasn't an immediate plan, but by 1864 there was. It was called the Wade-Davis Plan. Out of all the congressional suggestions and proposals for reconstructing the South, this bill finally emerged in mid-1864 that embodied a good part of the thinking of a significant section of the Republican Party. It was sponsored by Congressman Henry Winter Davis of Maryland and our old friend Senator Benjamin Franklin Wade, the radical from Ohio. They're the co-sponsors of this bill. The bill had several provisions that differed significantly from Lincoln's plan. First of all, the Wade-Davis bill said 50% rather than 10% of the voters would have to take the oath of allegiance. The provisional governor would enroll white male citizens. If 50% of them took the oath of loyalty, the process could then continue. To initiate the process, those who took the oath of loyalty would not be able to elect new state officers, but would first have to elect delegates to a state constitutional convention. And the Wade-Davis bill insisted not on a promise of future loyalty, but proof of past loyalty. Thus, the only men who could vote for delegates to the convention were those who took what was called an ironclad oath, swearing that they had always been loyal to the Union. They had never supported the rebellion. The Wade-Davis bill also enacted several safeguards of freed people's liberties, which were to be enforced by the federal courts. And it went along with Lincoln's disenfranchising of Confederate officials and various other classes of former rebels, but went beyond Lincoln in saying that anybody who bore arms against the United States would suffer political disabilities. What the Wade-Davis bill did not do was call for the enfranchisement of all black males of voting age. Many radicals wanted that kind of provision in the bill, but in July of 1864, that was simply too far in advance of what a majority of even the Republican Party would go along with. The radicals at this time made up just about a third of the Republican Party in Congress. Congress passed this measure on July 2nd. Wade and the other radicals hoped, what they really hoped for, was that the 50% requirement would postpone the process of Reconstruction, and they expected that it would. It would be hard to get 50% of these 1860 white men in the South to take that kind of oath. He hoped that it would postpone the process until later in the war or after the war, when the radicals would be more powerful probably in the party, and also when the people of the North might be more willing to support black suffrage and harsher terms levied against the South.